Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Hey, how's everybody today? Me too. I have one announcement. Lori Tipton has been on the kidney donor list for just a little while. But if y'all know about numbers of kidneys, numbers of your condition of your kidney, you know, when it gets down in the teens or 10 or something, you have to start going on dialysis and all. And what was your number before the one you told me? It was 19. So, but she is on the list and everything. But I got good news. You ready for the good news? They just told her that her kidneys has got up to 32. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. So anybody here want any of that? Want the good numbers? Anybody in here want good numbers? I don't care what it's about. You want good numbers, whatever it's about. Stand to your feet if you want good numbers. Lord, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to give good numbers, whatever it is about. Lord, that the good numbers will come, Lord, and come from you. We've been praising you, singing your praises and what you can do. So, God, we just receive it. We just receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I try not to get you to stand up again, but who knows? Oh, it's so good to be here. It really is very good. Before, I got a couple. Glad to have me here. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We love you too. We love all of you. We really do. I really mean that. We love y'all. And I didn't say we love y'all. I said we love you all. It's probably the same thing, but it's perfectly okay with me. I remember going through speech therapy when this thing first happened. The speech therapist came through and she said, we have to make observations about about talking and if the stroke impacted the talking and all that kind of stuff. And after about 2 hours, she looked at me and she said, "You are wasting my time." And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "There's nothing wrong with your speech. Everything's fine." And I said, "Hold it just a second. Can you do anything about this southern dialect?" She said, "Nope, you're on your own." Okay, but God always puts us in those situations. But before we get into the message, I have one thing I want to say. A few weeks ago, we talked to you about numbers and letters for the Hebrew, and I warned you about a group that put numbers on each letter. So that didn't come from God. We think it did, but it didn't. And it actually came about 200 years or 100 years before Christ. So that's how early it is. But I failed to give you the name of that group and that system is called Kabbalah, and it's an occultic knowledge that they put numbers on every letters, and then when you every Jewish word is made of the letters, and they put all the numbers, and then they'll come up with the numbers of them, and then they'll start to try to interpret the scripture according to their letters. So that's the reason it's a cultic knowledge, because God made numbers. They don't own numbers, and they don't own the Hebrew letters. You know, but they did put it on their, I don't know, somebody, and it was influenced by the Greeks when they did do it. But we have to make sure that we don't follow suit with that, because that is adding to the pure a profane knowledge. And we just have to be very careful. And I'm guilty of that as much as anybody, but we have to be very careful with that. You know, that when they start, they put all this stuff, so we got to depend on the interpretation that God gives us from his word, not a number. But now, at the same time, I want to tell you this. They do not own numbers. They do not own the letters. And all the thing they own is what they put to each letter. And we just sort of stay away from that, or supposed to stay away from that. And but see, God is the one that made the numbers, and he used a lot of numbers in the Bible. So it's not wrong to use numbers. So I don't want to mix you up. I want to make sure you plainly hear it. Like this one, number one. Deuteronomy 4:6 says, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our God, Yahweh is one." One. See, God uses one. He uses a lot of letters, a lot of numbers in the scriptures. In that passage, it's referring to, he is the only one. He's the one true God, and he is supreme. He is complete. There's no division in him. And also the Bible says, the two shall become one. So one, so that's in the Bible, two shall become one. And one is meaning, that means a unity. So when you become one with people, when we become one in God, we are one people. So don't be afraid of numbers. You know, just don't do what they do with the numbers and try to put letters together and make it mean what you want it to mean. It's what they do. Yeah, but he uses two. He uses all of these numbers. Like six, Pastor Terry said, six is a number of man. Why is that? It's because he was born on the sixth day. You know, 666 is in the Bible. Y'all hear me? So all of these things, we can't be afraid of numbers. And I'm giving you a little bit more than I intended to give you, but these things you have to understand that you can't do it what they're doing, or we can't participate in what they're doing. We have to use the Bible, just the Bible, without their influence of numbers trying to make it mean what they want it to mean. Eight means renewal, means new beginnings. Why is that? It was on the eighth day that they circumcised their children. You understand? You see the symbolism of God using numbers. When God uses numbers, use it. You hear me? Use it. When God uses numbers, you use it. Nine is like nine gifts of the Spirit. It's fruitfulness, fullness. 40. See, 40 is the number of testing. 40 years in the wilderness. It means wilderness and testing. So it symbolizes that. 50. Does anybody know what 50 is? What is it? Jubilee. It's a year of Jubilee. What's wrong with 50? Nothing. I'm going to use 50 regardless of what they do with it. You hear what I'm saying? So we have to stay pure with God's word. Everybody okay? Okay. All right. Just more things. I do believe that we need to make things correct and warn people about certain things and that are not from God. That's actually from man to begin with. Well, are you ready to go back to the basics? All right, I want you to go to Psalm 90 again. You remember we started that last week. We got through page one and we got through page two. But out of that, we talked out of that, the first point of getting back to the basics. And this is a psalm written by Moses, the only psalm written by Moses, and actually a prayer. So it's the first one written. So it is the oldest. Just a little tidbit. It is the oldest. He says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were born, and thou didst give birth to the earth of the world." you're from everlasting and everlasting, and you are God. So our first point was we need to understand and get back to the basics of who God is, who he is, what he's done to you, through you, and what he's going to do through you. So we have to go back to the basics of saying God, I mean, we say he is good. Lord, you're good. How many of you know God is good? How many of you are still waiting on him to be good? You know? See, no, we already know he's good. But see, he's always good. He's always good. So that is, he is great. He is good. So we have to remember that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we face, he is the creator. He is the one. He is the only one. We told you about the submarine going up to recalibrate their instruments. They have to go up and recalibrate to the North Star and to a satellite to make sure every 90 days they have to do that. Now, somebody did say, I don't need to wait 90 days. And I said, I didn't say wait 90 days. I said, they have to go up 90 days, but I mean, we ought to renew. We ought to be in renewal every day, all the time. You know, having this calibration done. But anyway, I'm going to move from that, and I'm going to say number two. You ready for number two? Number two point of back to the basics. Number two is overcome procrastination because your time is brief. Overcome your procrastination because time is brief. In verse 6, it said, Thou dost turn man back into dust and dost say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are like yesterday when it passes by. See, 1,000 years is like a day to God, you know, and day 1,000 years. And then he said, or a watch in the night. How many of you know what a night, how long a night watch is? 4 hours. If you're going to, when you look at the night watch, this watch is 4 hours in the Bible. So it gives you frame of reference when they talk about the night watches. So it's 4 hours each watch. So, but see, he's saying life is brief. Life is brief. Your time here is brief. He goes on and he says, thou hast swept them away like flood, and they fall asleep. And in the morning, they're like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. What is Moses saying here? Time is short. What's the meaning behind it? Get busy. Put off the procrastination. How many of you know that you've put off some things? I'm not going to ask you what are they. You know, we put off things. We don't need to begin to put off. James 4:14 says this. What is your life? Huh? Yeah. Say, what is your life? James said, what is your life? It's a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's like a mist. And all of a sudden, you see it, and then just for a little while, it's gone. He said, that's what your life is like. What Moses is saying is what your life is like. James said, that's what your life is like. And you need to understand there's not much time. You know, I became more aware of that since my stroke. You know, I'm thinking about death? No, I'm just saying there's not a lot of time. You know, not in my 20s anymore. I sort of want to act like 20. And Brenda did say this one time. She said, why do you act like a little boy? And she said, that's when I was in my 70s, early 70s. She said, why do you act like a little boy? And I looked at her and I said, because I am one. I mean, if you're going to be a little boy, act like one, you know. But over in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. So what is the accepted time? Now. Now, right now is the accepted time. That's what he says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And he says, behold, I want you to take notice. I want you to take notice that now is the accepted time. Then it says, behold, take notice about this too. Now is the day of salvation. Now this salvation here, because he's talking to the church, his salvation here is not just talking about being saved. It's talking about freedom. It's talking about liberty. It's talking about deliverance. It's talking about healing. See, salvation means a lot of different things to be saved from, you know, from other things. How many of you have salvation? That's one salvation. How many of you want all the others? I do too. I'm not talking about saving your soul. I'm talking about all the salvations that God gives to get us out of the things that we're in, to save us from this, to bring healing to us. How many of you want healing in your body? I do too. I want completeness. Somebody asked me, so how are you doing? I said, well, I don't have the dizziness like I used to. I do get lightheaded from time to time. And I said, but my best word that I have is I'm just not complete. So what does that mean? I'm not all there. I tell you what, I've taught you well. I've taught you well. But I had two people say, so you've never been there. No, I get it. I do. I get it. But see, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm all together, that I'm not complete in my healing, but I am having healing, you know. And here's another one over in John 4, chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus said, an hour is coming, and it now is. Jesus said, an hour is coming, but it's here now. It's here now. And what is here now? He said, when the true worshipers shall worship the Lord in spirit and truth. So what is he saying? When is the time? When is the time for you to become a true worshiper? Right now. Now is not the time for you to go through the motions, for you to do this and do that and do this, and your heart is not connected. Now your lips are there, but your heart isn't. See, that's not a true worshiper. You may know every song by heart. You may, you know, but that is not a true worshiper. The true worshiper is when you worship him in spirit and in truth. So that is the true worship. So what time is it for us to be true worshipers? Right now. So Jesus said, there's a time coming. He said, but that time is now. That time is right now. So you can't put that, say, well, I'll do that later. That's procrastination. You may not have later. It's not a terrible thing to think about, but see, the thing is, you do not know when your appointed time is. We have an appointment that we're either going to be caught up with him, or we're going to leave this earth through this gate of that's called the appointed time of dying. See, that's the point. Everybody has an appointed time. If you're not called up. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 24, verse 25. Paul is talking to Felix. Felix is the Rome governor of Judea. So he's one of the higher ups, not king, but he's the governor of Judea. And he is wanting Paul to tell. Now, Paul's been in prison 2 years. This time he was in prison in Rome for 2 years. In prison when he wrote the prison epistles. You know, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, and Philemon. That all was written from in-house arrest of prison. You know, so he's talking to Felix. Paul, he was discussing righteousness, verse 25. He's discussing righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. And then Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present. And when I find time, I will summon you to come back. What did he just do? Procrastinated. When was the time for him to be able to listen to the truth when the truth came? Right then. But instead of that, he made a decision not to. Over in the New Living Translation, it says this. He said, go away now, go away when there's a more convenient time. Now, have you ever said, well, it's really not a convenient time? Well, sometimes we have to be careful with what we're calling a convenient time if God is saying now. When God says now, what does he mean? Now. Not later. Now. So he said, go away, and at a convenient time, I'll call you back again. Well, that time never came for Felix. It never came for him. It never got to this. So procrastination can push away the truth from you. Putting it off will push truth away from you, not embrace it. See, the Bible tells us to be able to love the truth. To love the truth. So when the truth comes, what should you do? Love truth. Love the truth. So you say, well, the truth hurts. Yeah, sometimes it does. But you should love it. And it's been faithful is a true friend that what? That has a wound of truth that tells you, he said, that is a faithful friend that's able to tell you the truth even though it's going to hurt you. Are y'all hearing me? How many of you got a friend like that? How many of you got a friend that'll tell you the truth whether you like it or not? We need at least one. We need more than that. But we really need that. Let's look at Romans chapter 13 together. Romans chapter 13. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation for those up there. New Living Translation. And here's what it says. Verse 11, it says, this is all the more urgent. Now he's about to say something that is what? Urgent. And not just a little urgent, but all the more urgent. He said, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. So the problem is, we don't know how late it is in some cases. But he says, you do. You're just not really wanting to own up to it. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? I can't tell you the date or the time. I know it's closer than it was, but I know he's coming. How many of you know he's coming? Give him praise to know that he is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Then he said, we know how late it is. Time is running out. I think King James uses the words like, it's high time. It is high time you did this. It's high time you knew this. And then what do we got to do? It says, wake up. Wake up. Now see the thing, this is a spiritual slumber. How many of you have ever been in a spiritual slumber? Yeah, if you're honest, most of us from time to time, somewhere along the line in our life, we've been in that spiritual slumber. Just really wasn't an activating who we are, and actually just moseying along. For you northerners, mosey means to just trot along, just walk along. Now, most of you don't know what mosey is, but we just mosey along and all. But he said, listen, you need to understand something. This is high time. This is urgent for you. This is urgent. Wake up. Get out of your slumber. Now, I'm telling you, I believe he's talking to the church. Wake up, church. You need to wake up. Get out of the slumber that you're in thinking, you know, when things happen bad, they're going to happen to everybody. How many of you have been through tough times? If you haven't been, just hold your breath. It's coming. You know, there's tough times. I've been through several tough times in my life. But see, it's really not that we go through difficult times. What is the question? How are we going to go through those difficult times? Not that we're going to go through them. No, we all going to go through. We're not exempt from difficult times. We're really not. Being Christians, we're not exempt from it. You know, so we have to understand that he says we need to wake up, for our salvation is nearer. Once again, it's salvation. He's not talking about being born again. He said our salvation is more nearer than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The night's almost over. He said the day of salvation will soon be here. There's a deliverance coming. There is a deliverance coming. He's going to deliver us, and we're going to leave this body, and we're going to go to the We're going to be given a new body, a brand new body, you know. So he said, and then he says, okay, all right, so if that's so urgent, what have I got to do? You know, okay, he says, if that is so urgent, if that's so pressing, and I really need to wake up, what is it that I've got to do? Well, here it is. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Okay, you ready? You know, don't procrastinate in doing what? Take off your dirty deeds. You know, unless you're just that squeaky clean. And I'll get to that in just a minute. Get those dirty clothes. Get those deeds, dark deeds off like dirty clothes and put on a shining armor of living right. Take these things off that I'm not doing. I'm not supposed to be doing that. God says, don't do that. Take it off of me. Get it, get rid of it. And then he says, and put on the very shining armor of what? Now, one version says light. Well, that's great, but what does that mean? It means living right. Take off the ways that you're living that is in darkness and put on the right living, you Christians. Why should I want to do that? Because we belong to the day and we must live decent lives for all to see. So why does he want us to live? Why does he want us to live right? To be a witness. Why? Because we must live that way for all to see. So what is he saying? I want to use your right living to bring others that see to Christ. And we need to understand that the right living that we do, and once again, I'm trying to hold back. I want to say something else, but we have to understand that he wants to use our right living, our right walk in God, to be able to show other people, so people can say, let me ask you this. Has anybody ever asked you, because they saw you do something, has anybody ever asked you, are you a Christian? Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Really. And the reason they ask you that was why? They saw your behavior. They saw how you responded. They saw your walk. They heard your talk. Are you a Christian? Or they may say, do you go to church? But you know, sometimes you can go to church and not get that. Just saying. All right. He said, we don't go to wire parties and drunkenness and sexual behavior, improper living. Now watch this. Well, you may say, I don't do none of that now. So I must be walking in the light. But he don't leave quarreling, jealousy, and strife. Oops. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, well, you know, but the Pharisees is good as that. Say, we don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't run around with people who do. They didn't really say that, but it's like they was always picking on somebody else because they didn't do something, because they did all the law that they thought they had to do, but they would berate and belittle other people because they don't do that. You know what that is? Judgment. That's casting judgment on other people. That's really neat. He loved the Pharisees, but he had some words for the Pharisees, the church-going people. He had some words for church-going people back then. He really did. You know, he said, man, you're painted up on the outside, but on the inside, you're like dead men's bones. See, you look real good on the outside. It's almost like window shopping. As long as people just looked at the window, you know, but when they start going inside, they say, oops. You know, so anyway, so you begin to see this. And then he said, instead of doing this other stuff, clothe yourself, watch this, with the presence of, he didn't say the presence of Jesus Christ. What did he say? The presence of Lord Jesus Christ. Is that important? Extremely important. He said, don't let yourself think about the ways that you can indulge evil desires. King James says, make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. So you begin to hear that, okay, here's the thing. He said, I want you to close yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Procrastination will cause you to live shallow. Did you get it? Putting things off will cause you to live and walk a shallow walk in God. Why? You just keep putting off. One day, I'm going to really study my Bible. One day, I'm going to really read my Bible. One day, I'm really going to pray. One day, you hear what I'm saying? One day when it's convenient, now is the time. So we have to put this procrastination off. Y'all remember, I don't have time much time to go into this because I want to get to the other one. You remember the virgins, the 10 virgins that came, and 5 came with oil and with extra oil in the flask. They were wise. 5 virgins came, and they were, Bible calls them foolish. They didn't bring any extra oil. They didn't bring any oil. And they said, okay, the bridegroom is tarrying, and everybody went to sleep. All the virgins went to sleep. And all of a sudden, the voice comes out and says, here he comes. He's here. Here he comes. Go see him. All right, so all of them wake up, and the wise trim their lamps, and their lamps begin to burn. The foolish says, we're out of oil. And they look, says, hey, y'all need to give us some more. Y'all need to give us some oil. Well, they said, no, we don't have enough for ourselves. Now, when you read this, they were a little bit selfish. No, when you understand what they're saying, the salvation that I have won't get you to heaven. Do you hear me? You can't go to heaven because, you said, well, I'm going to go on my mama's coattails. Coattails are gone. You won't be grabbing hold of no coattail just because somebody else is saved. Y'all hear me? It won't work. It won't work. Then he goes on, they go on and said, okay. They said, no, we don't have enough. You need to go and get some of your own. You need to go and make a purchase yourself. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and they went in. No, they went in. He already came. They went in with him to the wedding feast, and they shut the door. That's a rough word. When the true worshipers got in, they shut the door. Do you hear what I'm saying? When the true, they shut the door. And then they came and said, watch this. Watch this. They came and said, when they came and returned, they said, Lord, Lord. What are they saying? You want to know what that word, you know what that means? You remember we talked about Lord, Elohim, my master. This one means my master, my owner. They are actually saying, my master, my owner, let us in. See, the door shut. My master, you're my master. I do everything you tell me. That's what there's. My master, my owner, you bought me. Really? My master, my owner. Open up, let us in. And then he answered and said, truly, I say to you, what does he say? I say to you, I do not know you. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean he didn't create them? No, he knew the creation of who they were. But you know what? Do you know what he's saying here? I don't know you that way. I don't know you as the owner of you. I don't know you as the master of you. Why? Because you never came. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't know you that way that you would call me my Lord, my master, my owner. I don't know you that way. He's not aware of any of that. Why? Because they never came that way. So what is this thing? He goes on saying, be on the alert. For you do not know when the day or the hour. So when you look at this, see, we're talking about the all of his presence. The had his presence. They carried his presence. And not just that, he was their master. They did what he said. He was Lord. Hey, if you ever rented, has anybody ever rented in here? You ever rented a home, rented a place or whatever? What did you have? You had a landlord. And they said, hey, you need to do this. Now, I dare you to say, nah, I don't think we're going to do that. Well, you might be able to say that. Won't be there long. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like they're not the Lord. Okay. And over in 2 Chronicles 16 says this, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Who's he looking for? He's looking all over the earth to try to find who it is that he's going to be able to strongly support because they are completely his. So what is the time to be completely his? Now. What is the time? Number three. You ready for number three? Number three is take action to activate your faith. Third basic. Take action to activate your faith. Is that important? Absolutely. Psalms 90 verse 20 says, teach us to number our 12. 90, 12. Teach us to number our days. Listen to this. That we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Another translation says that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Another one says that we may bring our heart to wisdom. Now, that may seem like, we just need to be wise. But no, we need to understand the depth of what the Hebrew is saying here. See, this word heart in this passage is the center of your being and the center of your character. You got it? Bring the center of your character to wisdom. The center of how you act, how you live. That's the heart that he's talking about. This the center. Wisdom here is a heavy emphasis on the reverent fear of God. Wisdom here is not like I'm smart. No, wisdom here says, your heart needs to be connected to the reverent fear of God. Now, does it mean you need to be afraid of God? No. No, but out of your reverence, you have a right fear that he can do what he wants. You have a right fear in your character. So all this passage here says, okay, so it's time to live out God's will and God's purpose for your life. When is the time to do that? Don't procrastinate. Now say, no, I'll do that later. No. Might happen, but most of the time it won't. See, when does he want you to live out what he's put in? Right now. What does that mean? That means that you have to understand, what does he want me to do? Then I go do that. My Lord, my owner. He said me to do this, so this is what I got to do. Job 28:28 says this. It said, behold, the fear of the Lord, and this Lord here is Adonai, the fear of my master. The fear of Adonai is wisdom. So he's saying you are going to become wise in this thing of who you are and your living when Adonai becomes your master. That's what he says. When he becomes your master, you're going to be able to walk into this wisdom of reverence. When he becomes your master, your owner. That's the reason people can say, Lord, 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 he's my Lord, and they don't do a thing he says. You know, Bible says that. There'll be many that come to me in that day, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not? He said, well, I know you. don't know who you are. I created you, but I don't know you as me being your master. And I was wanting to get to this thing about there's a difference in your state and your standing. See, your standing is who you are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Who are we? If we're born again, what is our standing? I'm the righteousness of God. Now, do we need to remember that? Absolutely. When I've had somebody say, well, do you walk perfect? And I said, I didn't say that. I didn't say I walk perfect. I said, but I'm walking closer and walking stronger with him because I am the righteousness of God. So we're more conscious of sin than we are conscious of righteousness as Christians. See, he wants us to be conscious of what he's done. That's our standing. Everything that we are, that's our standing. Not a single one of us saved ourselves. Not a single one of us, not a single one of us paid the price that we should have paid. Not a single one of us. See, that is our standing in God. Our state of being. Well, the state could be different. I might be standing in his righteousness, but walking like the devil. Yep. Now, it won't be long because he's going to spank us a little bit to say, get back in line. But see, we need to understand that our walk in him is extremely important. Our state is extremely important. Because when we're not in line with God, our clarity will drift. And we'll have chaos and all this, and we'll scratch our heads and say, what in the world is going on? What's the world going on? You know, and all he is trying to bring us back to our state of living. You know, State of the Union address. He don't get up there and say who we are. He gets up there and says, this is some things we need to work on. Okay. I'm about to close. I got a lot more, but I won't be able to share it all. So we need to, how are we going to fix this state? How are we going to fix this? It 2 Corinthians 11 says this. Paul said, I'm afraid lest the serpent that deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. What was Paul fearing? Paul was fearing that either words, actions, details. Pastor Charlie, I understand that when you talk about your son and everything about. See, offense, you can be offended, you know, and then he said the trap of offense, but guess what? Offense is a trap. It is the trap. Scandalon, it is the trap. Once it snaps, it is the trap. You know, but see, we need to understand that. See, that is a deception from the enemy that wants to take us from being the simple purity of devotion, being devoted to Christ. What are you devoted to? That's a good question. What are you devoted to? What is your devotion toward? Pizza? It's good. House, car, I'm more devoted to my car. No, we can't be that. Simple, he said, Paul says, the enemy is trying to move people away, just like he did Eve with his craftiness. He's trying to move people away from the simplicity. So we try to make walk with God difficult, but simple. Obey him. Hear him, obey him. Simple and pure. Devotion to Christ. So we have to watch that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35 says, I do not say this, and this I say for your own benefit, but not as a restraint upon you, but to promote you in a good way. Why? to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. To do what? Secure undistracted devotion to the Lord, to Christ. I said, okay, to the Lord. And then one verse says, it said, I want you to live out, I want you to live the right living and give yourselves fully to the Lord without concern for other things. So now if I, and I told you all the story, when I was a young Christian, I knew I was holding back. I knew I was. Somebody asked me, it's been a long time ago. I was in my 20s, and somebody said, what are you holding back for? And I said, you want me to be honest with you? Yeah, I want you to be honest with me. Why are you holding back? And it wasn't the fact that I was holding back to be saved. I was already saved. But my walk was holding back. It was partial, but it was being held back. I said, why are you holding back? And I got honest with him, and I said, I'll tell you why. Because as soon as I do that, he's going to send me to Africa, and I do not want to go to Africa. Now, I'm just being real. I mean, that's where I was at then. That's where I was at then. It wasn't a reverential fear of him. It was a fear of going to Africa. I don't want to go to Africa. As soon as I say, yes, Lord, I'll do anything,
you're going to Africa.
No. But see, that's part of my life. You have your own part. That's part of my life. So we not need to be. Here's something that distracts us. I was talking about words and everything, and Pastor Charlie, listen to this. This is what 1 Peter says. Do not return evil for evil or insult for insult. This is out of Amplified. Or insult for insult. Because somebody insults you, don't give it back to them. If somebody's evil to you, don't do it back. See, that's how we're supposed to walk. And then this insult is like scolding, like a giving you a tongue lashing, or like berating you. He said, but on the contrary, give blessings. And what does that mean? It means praying for their welfare, praying for their happiness, praying for their protection. Oh, I get it. Somebody's going to be that mean to me, and then you want me to pray that they'll be happy. You want me to pray that they'll have a great life. You want me to pray for their well-being. That's exactly right. See, that's the way of God. See, but if we make room for the flesh, we won't do that. Nah, I'm not going to do that. But see, he said, their welfare, their happiness, and their protection. For know that to this you have been called. How many of you are Christians? You have been called to what I just said, to what the Bible said. That's your calling. That's just one of your callings. That's just one of them. And he said, and you need to do this because you will inherit the blessing of God. And he said, you'll obtain the blessing from him. You'll obtain the welfare and the happiness and the protection. Do you want that? That's your blessing that you're going to get. That's what he said. Luke says this. Jesus' words says, I do. But I say to you who are listening to me now. This is Jesus' words. He said, I'm saying this to you who is listening to me now in order for you to be able to take heed and practice what I'm about to say. Are you ready? Are you ready? Love your enemies. Treat well. Do good and nobly toward those who detest you. And pursue you with hatred. And he says, invoke blessings upon and pray for their happiness. Pray for the happiness of those who curse you. Implore God's blessings and favor upon those who treat you this way. Pray for God's favor to be upon them. Do we have work to do? See, this is not just for one or two. This is for everybody. This is for me. This is for everybody. But he goes on, he says, without faith, without you having faith that you can do this, it's impossible for you to please God. It's impossible. Martha Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house. He went in, and Mary went to the feet of Jesus and sat down and was listening to Jesus. Martha was busy making lunch, making dinner. She got upset about it. She got upset about it. She went to Jesus. Do you not care? She went to Jesus. Imagine, she went to Jesus and said, don't you care about this, that she's mistreating me? How many of you have ever went to God and said, they mistreating me, God? You are you hearing me? Said, she's mistreating me. And then he says, Martha, Martha, not you, Martha Wadsworth. I've heard you mention that before. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about many things. And Jesus says, but only a few things are necessary, really, only one. He said, Mary has chosen the good part, and it will never be taken away from her. What did she choose? You want to know what she chose? She's sitting at his feet, listening to him. You know what she chose? Fellowship with Jesus. Yeah, there's dishes to do. There's all this stuff. One is serving that way. One is serving this way. Both are, there's nothing wrong with doing dishes. But when it's time, listen, men, there's nothing wrong in doing dishes. Yeah, I that's the reason I bought a real good dishwasher. No. So here's what you, I didn't mean to distract you with that. But see, here he said Martha was distracted because of all of this. Distracted from fellowship. So are you distracted from fellowshipping with God in order to be able to grow? So get undistracted and understand that now is the time. Now is the time. Start your walking out what he's already put in. You don't have to earn this. You have to practice fellowship. How many of you want to grow up in Jesus Christ? That's what the Bible says. We should grow up. See, that don't come automatic. That's on purpose. That's purpose living. Let's stand. So the difference here is this. I'm going to ask you a question. How are you going to spend the rest of your life? Are you going to spend your life, or are you going to invest your life? I say you need to invest your life into doing what he wants. Don't spend your life. We can spend and not ever do anything. But see, an investment is when we give time and we give ourselves to the very thing that he says he wants us to do. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to be upon each one with the blessings. Lord, let they tangibly feel who you are. I pray, God, that the lordship, that you being the master, will open up a whole new world for them as they say to you, my master, my Lord, my owner. Lord, that they would live their lives, we would live all of our lives, so that others can see who you are and bring them to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, come down as we dismiss. Come right down here. Come right down here and somebody will meet you. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.